From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. It's Locked On Chiefs. Another day, another victory Tuesday, we're going to call it. We have a great show for you. We are going to get into a number of things, and we are brought to you today by Pepsi. This football season is different, and Pepsi's there to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. We're going to get into a couple of things, not only the wide receiver crew, but Patrick's big milestone. And we have to start with some updates to some of the players that are coming back.
Yeah, and you look at a guy in Colin Saunders who's returning from IR, and I think he played a very good game in his first game back. He didn't get many snaps from what I saw. But he did make his presence felt, and that's very important for the season going forward.
Yeah, I mean, a heavy rotation. We saw a good game from Wharton as well, but to have Saunders back, I mean, he played 15 snaps. I just pulled it up here. That's a pretty good chunk for your first day back. It looked like he ate well while he was gone, and it looked like he still had some snap to his get-off, and I think that's important. He did make a couple of splash plays, and I thought in general held his own pretty good for being out so long.
Yeah, and you have to like what you saw from him. Like I said, I mean, it was one of those games where you were hoping that they were going to be able to be, you know, consistent against the run. Colin Saunders really helps him in that regard. And really, this game wasn't ever in doubt in my mind. Obviously, early on, it looked like Denver might make a little bit of a game of it, but Kansas City shut that down pretty quickly in the second quarter, and then it was never a game from there on out. But you look at other injuries that the Chiefs are dealing with. They didn't seem to have any injuries coming from the game against Denver that we know about at this point. They didn't report anything after the game. But the one guy to be watching in the future is Martinez Rankin. He has two more weeks of his return from the PUP list window.
Yeah, and I got to say, it's a little bit concerning. I know a significant knee injury. We still don't know exactly what it was in specific health terms. But to see this linger to this point where it's nearly a year out and have Saunders come back on the same kind of IR where you have a window that you don't necessarily have to activate him and have him come back immediately and contribute. And there's still question about Rankin and there's still question about, is it going to happen or is it going to be a year long IR? That definitely does not give me a good feeling about the progress to this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up able to do with him. I think that it's going to be one of those things where if he's able to go, he's able to go, and hopefully he's going to be able to go, but we'll know in the next couple of weeks. And I think he could step in this line, and honestly, I think he could help. Really, I think they're going to be very short-handed at lineman number six, especially if Mr. Schwartz is not back this week for the Jets. We kind of talked about this after the game, but I do think that they need to let Schwartz rest this week.
Yeah, I think I'm completely with you. There's no reason. And, you know, like we always say, anybody in the NFL can win any week. But and the Jets actually played a pretty good game. They kept it competitive this last week. But I don't think there's any way that there is an on-field reason to have Mitch Schwartz in uniform this week. He's never missed a game before. If he's going to miss one, he might as well miss two and get that much more healthy in terms of being able to step back into his role and alleviate that helps a ripple effect and help the whole line.
Yeah, and you start looking at other positions that you're talking about. I mean, Ryder played at the very end of the game, and I think that that was kind of surprising to me. I figured that they would continue to let Kilgore get snaps, especially considering they've been saying that the reason that Ryder wasn't playing is because of a knee issue. Why would you put him in late in the game just to get a couple of snaps when he's been trying to rest his knee? So I wonder if that's going to be more of a permanent move. Allegretti, I think, has played pretty well for the most part. I think he struggled at times, but I think you're going to do that when you're just starting into a starting role. And Remmers has played pretty well, so I have to wonder what they're going to do with him when Schwartz does come back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the natural progression of things is going to be Remmers back at left guard once Schwartz returns. And nothing against Allegretti, you're right. I think he's played pretty well. But I think at the end of the day, the pass pro in particular is something that I think you can get a little bit of a lift there by putting Remmers back at left guard. But I agree with you. I think Kilgore is going to stay where he's at. I don't see any reason to change it. And for those that have pinged me about, hey, they didn't, this new style, you know, run game first didn't pan out against the Broncos. Well, you got to remember there's a couple inches of snow out there too. So I'm not going to take any of the run blocking as anything that is definitive about what we're going to see going forward on what should be games without, you know, falling powder.
Without inclement weather, for sure. Yeah, and I do think that, you know, when we get back, we're going to need to talk a little bit about a possible trade scenario that Kansas City could look at, although I really don't think that they would go this direction.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for the game no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through this game and all the others to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are our generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on important things like mortgage and food and daily occurrences like that. There's a lot that goes into your life, and why would you want to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more on the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership when you can go to rockauto.com?
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. I can attest to this. I really did like the Rock Auto site when I was looking for something for my car a couple of weeks ago. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much as for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box. They know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, so before we hit the break, I wanted to talk about a trade scenario that has been brought up. Everson Griffin is looking to be shopped right now by the Cowboys. I can't see Kansas City making that move. Do you think it would make sense for them, considering the injuries that they're dealing with at the position?
You know, that's the only thing that if you think some of those are significant, like season injury, season ending, or if worse, maybe you would take a look. But the cost, especially on what is a new arrival to the current roster that he's on, I got to think that they're going to want to get as much back for him as they can. The Chiefs don't want to give up draft capital, and they don't have that much room in terms of salary. So I would be a little reluctant myself, but Okafor's out. You know, we hinted in the last segment, hey, there's no injuries as reported on Monday morning that we know of, because what happened last week is Taco Charwin, one of those people, showed up after the game. It was not during the game that we realized that there's an injury. And so that's depleted a little bit more. But Tonnell Pasigno provided some good pressure this week. I think he was second in terms of pressure generation for this defense. That's a positive sign. And I think you have to dig what Sean Wharton did. He was third there. So it was Jones, Pasigno, Wharton, and then Nnadi of all people in terms of generating pressure against Drew Lock.
You got to love that. And what I will say is I think that if Charlton was going to be more of a long-term injury, I think that maybe they would consider making a move. Okafor is on IR, so he's going to be out at least two more games. And I'm really curious to see, and I wish I knew this answer, but I think that it would have to be two more games, which would mean that Okafor's out for another 3 weeks because the Chiefs have a bye after the Jets. So big question on that one is could he return for the Tampa Bay game, or would it end up having to be the Raider game? You know, and then you still have Mike Dana on IR. So there's going to be some players that are coming back. The question is how quickly can they come back? And that's why I don't think that they're going to make a move at this time at that position. And I really don't see them making a move for somebody asked me about a wide receiver, Adam Thielen. I can't see them going that direction either.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to see that. Yes, we are a week as of today from the trade deadline. It is the same as Election Day. So there's a lot of hubbub. And honestly, some trades are kind of flying under the radar if people are asking for them. But there's been a couple of rumors, a couple of players who said they wanted out and then they didn't. And it just seems like this year of all years, it just seems haphazard right now about what could happen. And don't get me wrong, Brett Veach has a list of guys that he feels good about. And if any of those become available, I think you could see something going, but I can't predict them right now.
Yeah, I definitely can't predict them either. And I think that, you know, one of the guys that I would have expected Kansas City possibly be interested in at wide receiver would be a guy like John Ross, just because of his speed. but it doesn't look like Cincinnati is willing to get rid of him. Although, you know, they have a week at this point to do something if they're going to do something. But when we start talking about the wide receiver group in general, you know, Kansas City has really had some guys that have stepped up lately.
Yeah. And I think, like we talked yesterday, part of it was concerted effort to get Hardman the ball. I don't feel like he did as much as I had wanted him to, but I did feel like it was a bit of a step forward on offense. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, I think he played very well. I liked what I saw from him. And I will say this. Some people are really reading into the different snaps that people got. I will say that, to me, yesterday's surface and yecesterday's type of game was not a Mecole Hardman type game. Mm-hmm. Early on, I think that it played to his strengths because the field was pretty good. But when the field got slick and icy, and you know, you had more and more snow coming down, that's not going to play to his strengths. So to me, I think he's going to be in a better position when, you know, cold is okay, but it's really the wet and everything else that's going to slow him down. And he's not going to be as useful as he would in other games.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. That is not a way to showcase him. So I want to see what happens this next weekend. And clearly after the bye, hopefully they can get a reset and figure out if that is, especially while Sammy is not feeling well, if that's a goal for them. Is that Andy's, like, we need to do something to spark that, or is it still continuing to let him come along naturally in his progression? Do you dial things up for him? I think one thing that will help, and I can't be more adamant about this, I'm ready for Byron Pringle to be a starter with Hill and Hardman. I'm past this DeMarcus Robinson phase. I've been past it for a while, okay? We went out. We didn't like each other. We broke up. It's over. So, like, and I think maybe because...
You know what's going to happen, don't you?
What's that?
Robinson's going to catch, like, 3 touchdowns against the Jets.
Well, that's how I set it up, you see? but I'm hoping, if that were to happen, I'm hoping that the tenacity, the explosiveness that we see from Pringle, because I do feel like Pringle is a guy that is looking to make his statement every time he touches the ball. I feel like that kind of tenacity and almost like a desperation to make a play would rub off a little more on Hardman. And maybe the two of them together can help each other emerge into pass-catching threats that I think they can both become.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised that Robinson doesn't seem to have that trait. He came back to Kansas City to have a chance at getting a bigger contract. He's not going to have it the way he's playing right now. He has an opportunity to play because Sammy's not playing and he just isn't getting the ball. And obviously you can't put that all on him because, you know, with Tyreek Hill and Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Travis Kelce and, oh yeah, Mecole Hardman, lots of other mouths to feed on this offense, but Robinson still has to be effective and he has to be out there and he has to be open to get the ball and he has to catch it whenever it's thrown to him. And he struggled with that part of it at times this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if there's a common thread when I look at the film. I don't see things. It's not a physicality thing on the part of the DB across from him. I don't see anything standing out that way. I just want to see more fire out of him, to tell you the truth. And that's why I want to see Pringle.
Yeah, because Pringle's definitely shown the fire, and he was fired up after that touchdown. You know, honestly, I loved Pringle's long touchdown run. One thing that I loved about it the most is you saw different guys celebrating with him in the end zone. Travis Kelce was in the end zone. He wasn't in on that play. He ran from the sideline to go celebrate with Pringle. Mecole Hardman went to go celebrate with Pringle, and Pringle was taking Hardman's job.
Yeah, in some form or fashion, yeah. The split of snaps is going to change, and I think that does say a lot, and I think that does give you an idea that the 2019 team that was so about themselves and being a unit, 53, 65 deep, I think that has carried over, and I think that's one thing that this team in particular, and maybe it's because of the history of the franchise, maybe it's because it's the Midwest in Kansas City, but this team continues to pull for the little guy amongst them, even as they go further and further towards a road towards repeating.
Yep. And I have to ask you, and I know we didn't talk about this like we were going to talk about this, but I have to ask you your thoughts. Le'Veon Bell and how many carries he got yesterday compared to Clyde. What did you think about the split?
I thought it was fine, especially when I feel like it's got to be more Lev this coming week. I mean, we're still not talking about a ton of carries in particular. I'm trying to look at how they were targeted. I don't think Bell wasn't looking for the one target he may have actually had that doesn't make the actual stat sheet, but. But 6-8, it was almost a 40-60 split, and I'm perfectly fine with that. My only negative is that I think that was in leading up to using Bell quite a bit against the Jets, and more power to him. I think that's a great thing to capitalize on. Motivation is hard to find in this league. You might as well use it. But the only thing that I would say is I think Darrell got two snaps on offense, and I would have liked to seen him get a little bit more of his previous share.
Yeah, and one thing I will say, I think Bell was in there when he wasn't targeted and wasn't handed the ball a little bit more than I expected. And I think part of the reason that they did that is trying to get him. I mean, the game was out of reach at that point. By the time that they really had Bell in the third quarter of the game, I guess I shouldn't say it was out of reach, but it was close to being out of reach at that point. You want to get Bell into this offense. You want to get him ready for the games that are going to matter. This Jets game is not going to be a big game for Kansas City, but it's going to be a huge game for Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kansas City is going to play its toughest two games, probably the rest of the season, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Las Vegas Raiders right after they come back from their bye. So you need to get Le'Veon Bell ready for those games.
Yeah, I completely agree. And luckily, he didn't miss much time. He still had some carries there in week five before he came over. So I think this Jets thing should get him ready before they hit the bye. Let everybody recover and be good to roll with that. He's not the only one that's got a lot to look forward to, because we have Patrick Mahomes hitting some milestones that are going to continue after the bye, and we're going to get to that after this. Now, Patrick was a guy who got to, kind of take it easy yesterday, and I, for one, love that. When I look at the rushing totals, Chad Heady had four carries, technically, and Patrick had zero, and I like that. I'm very much comfortable with that one.
Yep. No, I can't say I disagree with you at all on that. What I will say, though, is you sit here and you look at the way this game played out. I was expecting more passing TDs. I said this during the game yesterday. I said it after the game. I'm glad that Hill got his TD late, because I really want to see Pat's streak continue of 17 straight games with the touchdown pass. But I'm really curious. He was what looked like going to be an easy time hitting 100 touchdown passes. In his first 100 games, he looked like he was going to sail past that very quickly. And now he's 5 games away from hitting that 100 mark, and I think he's at 92.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It's impressive, but I thought he was going to sail past it. I'm not so sure he's going to sail past it now. He's slowed down.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I think there's going to be a natural progression again, because this regression, I think, has been due to what defenses have been doing to him in an effort to thwart he and Tyreek Hill in particular. And so that makes you bring it in. Eventually, especially if they continue to feed Travis and run the ball like they did against the Bills, I think that's going to swing the pendulum back and there will be opportunities again. I do expect him, as the season nears like the fourth quarter, the last four games of the season, I think you'll see him return to his prior form.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. And I do think that he does hit the 100 touchdown passes, which actually would be a pretty big milestone. He'd be the youngest or the quickest ever to hit that. I do think he gets it in the next couple of games. I do think that this Jets game could be a situation where he could throw for 3 or 4 and really get back on track in that regard. I do think that this Denver game was going to be a game that he could have done better. But because of the 2 touchdowns that weren't on offense at all, and because of the touchdown pass or the fumble by Kaiser, I think that really took away some of his chances. And I think that he would have probably had 2 or 3 had those, some of those plays not happen the way they did. But obviously, you're not going to complain about a defensive score and a special team score.
No. And I think the rest of the league is going to say, the Broncos did not exactly put a new example of how to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes in giving up back-to-back plays that didn't involve him.
But yeah, I think he had 3 snaps at the end of the second quarter, I think, when he got in for the last drive. He had only had 3 snaps in the quarter. And normally when you say something like that, you're like, oh, God, This is not going to be a good game. But Kansas City had put 14 points on the board during the second quarter without him on the field. So
as much as this is about Patrick Mahomes, it's not always about Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. And, I love it. I think that you start looking, and our buddy Seth has actually talked about this a little bit. And he said, this is the best team, the most balanced team he's seen in Kansas City in his time covering the Chiefs. And I think that could be very accurate. I think the defense is starting to round into shape. I do think that they're still struggle against the run, and I think that they're going to continue to struggle against the run a little bit more until their linebacker play gets better. But that kind of leads you to the question of, you know, Willie Gay started yesterday, started on Sunday, and that really went a lot better than I was expecting it to. I do think that he's going to be a guy that's going to continue to get better and contribute throughout the season. A lot of people were calling for him to play early as opposed to Neiman playing, and I get it. But I also think that Kansas City did it right, and they wanted to bring him along and make it to where he wasn't trying to do too much too early.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, like we talked about, this is the point in the season here, and particularly after the bye week, that I think he's going to be that much more comfortable, where I think what you saw against Denver was opportunity, about being able to shut your brain down, play instinctually, and make plays that you're capable of making. Yep. You still saw some plays where he didn't pursue very well. I thought the front side attack of, especially in base, the linebackers was good. I thought both guys on the backside's filling was not that great, and Willie was part of that at times as well, too. So for all the good things that he did, there's still progression to be made. And I think that's probably what Steve Spagnuolo is seeing in Matt House as well every day that we don't. But I think that those plays really set it apart that he is making progress, and it is inching towards him being out there a whole lot more. I think this was, what, it was 39 snaps, so 50% of the defensive snaps this week.
Yeah, and it could, you know, I think it's going to continue to get higher and higher. I do think that he continues to play more and more. And honestly, I liked what I saw from Wilson at several times during this game. I do think that he played a pretty decent game. I honestly don't think that that penalty that he got called for throwing the guy out of bounds, I don't think he was trying to throw him down. I think he slipped and was falling as opposed to throwing him out of bounds. So I hated that penalty, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, you hold one guy up one week and you toss somebody the next, you know, it all works out.
Right.
But you're right. I thought, again, on front side pursuit, I thought Damien played well as well. And it's just, I think it's still a work in progress against the run, and they have to do it. And honestly, if you had a consistent front, I think that would help you too. As a linebacker, having the guy in front of you that you know and can anticipate a little bit helps. Yep. But they're not going to have that. So it is about continuing to work together. And I think they're going to be okay. And again, like we saw last year, if giving up rushing yards is your Achilles heel, I think that's something that this team can recover from, given not only Patrick and the passing offense, but now the rushing offense as well.
Yeah. And I will say this, you know, Tashaun Wharton, I think, continues to show that he belongs in this league. And I just am excited about his development for the future, because obviously, he's not going to get there this year and be where I really would like to see him. But I think he's going to be there a lot quicker than I ever thought that he would be. I think he could be a real force next year for Kansas City.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like where they're at in terms of not only performance, but the youth that they have in the group as well. Yep.
So Saunders and Wharton. And, you know, obviously you have Pinnell, who's not youthful, but is a very important piece of stopping the run in this game. And or in this team. And then you have a guy in Frank Clark who I absolutely love seeing him get that fumble recovery and run the ball. I thought that was pretty good. You know, he was fired up for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was. And let's not forget old Derek Nottie, who I'm going to start calling Snacks, I think.
Come on, talk about your boy.
I mean, again, he flashed a couple of times. Yep. Played solid against the run. I mean, like we told you pregame, folks, Philip Lindsay can run and he can get away from you. And especially, it's kind of like the Clyde thing. It's because he's a smaller back and because he has that jump step, that really is an asset for him. But I thought Derek Nottie played it pretty well. I'm really happy with his progression to this point. And again, Veach, sign him now. Aura.
Sign him now so he can go buy a dog shelter so he can start giving away more puppies.
Yeah, for sure.
He seems to be giving away puppies every single time that they play.
Free kenneling Super Bowl weekend.
Hey, you know, honestly, I love that he has that cause. That's awesome. And I love watching him play. I think he has turned out to be a lot better than I was expecting him to be. And not necessarily I was expecting him to be bad, but I just wasn't expecting to see the run stuffer that he's become. I didn't see that when he first started in Kansas City. And obviously, he's been putting on weight and putting on technique and everything like that. And I get it. But I think he is definitely somebody that you want to build this defensive line around. And if you can sign him, you need to sign him now so you can try to keep him here for the long term.
Yeah. Here's the youth. Use it while you got it. I find myself saying that more and more. So, hey, folks, we hope that you're enjoying your youth, and this 24 minutes or so has now gone by. So we'll give it the rest back to you. We appreciate you spending this time with us, though. As we go through, Matt Derrick's going to join us the rest of this week. We'll have another look at the next opponent, as interesting as they are. We do have our game preview with all of our keys and matchups and predictions coming for you on Friday. Oh, and what did I forget?
You didn't forget anything. I just have to throw this out there because we talked about Seth earlier. He had an outstanding tweet, and I just have to share it with everybody. The Chiefs have outscored the Broncos 301 to 164 in their last 10 meetings.
Hey, 2-1 margin over 10 contests. I'll take it.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
For those of you who have married a Broncos fan like me, don't let them listen to that part.
Yeah, just shut it off.
Thank you guys for everything, for the iTunes reviews. We'd love to get more of those. Let us know how you feel. Hit Locked On Chiefs on Twitter and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening to us today. We will talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.